पिता त्वमेव त्वमेव बन्धुस्तु सखा त्वमेव त्वमेव वीर्यद्रविणं त्वमेव त्वमेव सर्वं मम देव देव त्वमेव बन्धुस्तु सखा त्वमेव त्वमेव वीर्यद्रविणं त्वमेव त्वमेव सर्वं मम देव देव त्वमेव बन्धुस्तु सखा त्वमेव त्वमेव वीर्यद्रविणं त्वमेव त्वमेव सर्वं मम देव देव त्वमेव सर्वं मम देव देव त्वमेव सर्वं मम देव देव
Welcome, everybody, to Osho Radio. In the program of today, we are playing music from Deva Premal and Miten. We have a discourse for you by Osho from the series The Grass Grows by Itself. It is a series on Zen. We have a small meditation for you. Just be comfortable and relax and enjoy Osho Radio, made especially for you. The discourse of today is about a Zen story, is about emptiness. The discourse is from The Grass Grows by Itself, chapter 3, I would like to mention that the discourse that we broadcast is only a small piece of a whole discourse. Usually a whole discourse by Osho lasts 1.5 hours. Really, if you like the discourse, you can go to oshoworld.com and download the whole discourse for yourself. Today's program is called From the Part to the Total. And Osho is saying, man should be like a hollow bamboo, so that existence can pass through him. Man should be like a porous sponge, so that the doors and the windows of his being are open, and existence can pass from one end to another without any hindrance. In fact, without finding anybody inside. The wind blows, they come in from one window, and they go out from another window of this being. This emptiness is the highest bliss possible.
This is a small anecdote. Will tell you many things about how the ego can be thrown off center. Sekko said to one of his monks, "Can you get hold of emptiness? I will try," said the monk. And he cupped his hands in the air. The master is playing a trick. The master asks, "Can you get hold of emptiness?" The question is tricky. And if the disciple was of any understanding, he would not have tried. The very effort to catch hold of emptiness is stupid. You can catch hold of something, you cannot catch hold of nothing. How can you catch hold of nothing? The disciple still feels that emptiness is something. He still feels that emptiness is not empty. It is a name, a label of something which can be caught hold. If he was of a little understanding, even a little understanding, he would have done something else than catching hold of emptiness. And that was the test. A Zen master gives you an absurd problem which cannot be solved. There is no way to it. The master says, "Can you get hold of emptiness?" Now from the very beginning, any solution is debarred. In the very wording of the question, he has created an absurdity. How can you catch hold of nothing? Something, of course, you can catch hold, but nothing. Emptiness. All your efforts are doomed from the very beginning. And this is the whole thing that the master is trying for the disciple to become aware. But the ego takes the problem immediately and it starts trying to solve it. It becomes a challenge. That's why so many people try crossword puzzles, this and that. Just looking at the newspaper, their ego is challenged. They have to solve it, otherwise it will haunt them. So intelligent that how this puzzle can exist, they will have to solve it. It becomes an obsession. Millions of people waste millions of hours solving foolish things. But the ego takes the challenge. When the master said, "Can you get hold of emptiness?" He is exciting the ego. And ego is the most stupid thing in human life. You can excite it by anything. By anything. The master Sekko said, "Can you get hold of emptiness?" "I will try," said the monk. That is the answer of the ego, "I will try." It takes all sorts of challenges. And cone is such a challenge that it is made in such a way that you cannot solve it. And trying to solve it, you will become aware that your very effort to solve it is idiotic. In trying to solve it, you will become aware that you have taken the challenge that was wrong. That one who says within you that I will try and I will do is important. A cone is given to a disciple to feel the impotency that you cannot do, to feel the helplessness, because the ego can disappear only in a helpless state, otherwise not. The ego can disappear only when it is a total failure. Not even a slight possibility of its success exists, only then. Otherwise it can go on hoping that I will do something else, or something else, and I will try this alternative and that. There must exist a possibility so that the emptiness can be caught. You can catch hold of it. I will try. Remember always to watch before you say, I will try. Don't allow the ego to come in. Just watch. Be intelligent. Don't be egoistic. Intelligence is good. Being egoistic, in fact, hinders the functioning of your intelligence. Such a simple thing, the disciples would have hit the master right then and there. But what type of nonsense you are telling me? Can you get hold of emptiness? What nonsense! Emptiness is nothing. How can you get hold of it? It has no boundaries, no limitations to it. It is not possible. But the ego says, I will try. Said the monk, and he cupped his hands in the air. Not only he said, he tried. He cupped his hands in the air. You may think that you would have done better. What you will do? Whatsoever you will do will be the same. Without knowing what you will do, I say it will be the same. You jump this way and that and try to catch hold, you will simply look foolish. He cupped his hands in the air. That is not very good, said Sekko. You have not got anything there. There is something to be understood here. If your hands are open, the emptiness is there. If your hands are not open and you have made a fist, the emptiness has disappeared. In a fist, there is no space. In an open hand, the whole sky is there. But it is in an open hand. The meaning is very subtle but very beautiful. If you try to catch hold, you will miss. If you don't try, it is already there. If you don't try, in your open hand, the whole sky exists. Nothing less than that. If you try to catch hold of the sky, and you make a fist out of your hand, everything has disappeared. What is there in your fist? Maybe a little stale air. And that too shows that the fist is not exactly complete, that's why. If the fist is exactly complete, the all sky has disappeared from there. The ultimate is already there. No effort is needed to get it. In the very effort you miss and lose and go astray. That is not very good, said, Sekko, you have got, you have not got anything there. Well, master, said the monk, please show me a better way. There are no ways, better or worse. The way doesn't exist, because the way means that something has to become. The way means that some distance has to be traveled. The way means that you and the goal are separate. The way is possible if I am traveling to come to you. The way is possible if you are traveling to come to me. But how the way is possible if I am trying to be myself? There is no distance. If you are trying to reach yourself, the way is not possible. There is no space, no distance. You are already yourself. The way doesn't exist. That's why Zen is called the pathless path, the gateless gate. The gate is not there, and this is the gate. The pathless path, the path doesn't exist. And to understand this is the path. The Zen effort is to throw you on your reality immediately. No need to postpone. Well, master, said the monk, please show me a better way. He is still in the same trap. The ego is asking, then something else may be possible. Something else can be done, and you can catch hold of emptiness. Thereupon, Sekko seized the monk's nose and gave it a great yank. Why Zen masters are so rude? And only Zen masters are so rude. Because they have a real compassion. And you can be thrown to yourself only in such a way. There is no other way. You need an electric shock. You need a shock treatment. Why a shock treatment? Because only in a shock, for a small portion of time, your thinking stops, otherwise not. Only in a shock you become aware, alert, your sleep drops. Otherwise you are a sleepwalker. Unless somebody hits you hard, your sleep cannot be broken. Sekko seized the monk's nose and gave it a great yank. Ach, held the monk, you hurt me. In this ach is the whole mystery. Somebody yanks on your nose. What happens inside? First thing, it was never expected. He was expecting some intellectual answer. Unexpectedness is the key, because in an unexpected moment, the mind cannot function. That's what arc means. The mind has simply stopped. This voice doesn't come from the mind. It comes from your totality. It is not manipulated by the ego, because there is no time for the ego to manipulate. It has happened so suddenly. The master has jumped upon you so suddenly. There was no time to prepare, to get ready, to do something. This arc comes from your whole body, mind, soul. from your very depth of emptiness it comes. It has a flavor of the total. Ak el the monk, you hurt me. And immediately comes back the echo, you hurt me. It lasts only for a single moment, not even a single moment. A minute part of it, a glimpse, a lightning. And immediately the mind takes control again, you hurt me. Look, these three words, you hurt me. This is the whole life. You and me and the heart. Immediately the whole mind is back with the all basic elements, you, me and the heart. That's the way to get hold of emptiness, said Sekko. He has revealed it. He has not explained, he has already given it. He has not only indicated, he has created a situation in which it happened. That's what a master is for, to create a situation in which things happen to you. To create a situation in which you can become aware of the mechanicalness of the mind and of the spontaneousness of your inner no-self. And then you can move by and by from the mind to the inner spontaneousness. You can become loose and natural. Once you understand that everything can go on without your mind trying to manipulate, everything in fact goes on very beautifully. The trouble starts when you take hold of it, when you try to manipulate, when you want the mind to be in the saddle, then the trouble starts. Otherwise everything goes on, and it goes on so beautifully. There is no need to improve it, and you cannot improve it. The master gave a glimpse of his inner being, because the arc came from the very center. It was not of the body, not of the mind. It was of the total. And in that moment, he functioned as a spontaneous being, not as a doer. This functioning can become your whole life. That is what religion should be. A religious life is a functioning of the spontaneous being. Situations are there every moment. You act not as a doer. You act spontaneously. Somebody smiles. What you do? You can smile as a doer. You can manipulate. You can smile because it will be impolite if you don't smile. You can smile because in a society you have to exist, and this man is very important. In fact, it is greatly flattering that he smiled at you. So you have to. It may be a bargain, a business, a trade, social mannerism. Or it may be simply unconscious habit. Somebody smiles, you react. You smile. A push button smile. But your being is absolutely unaffected. In fact, you are not in your smile at all. It is just on the lips, a painted thing. Just an exercise of the lips. Nothing in it. Absolutely empty. you manipulate. All spontaneity is lost. You become a robot. This is how life becomes ugly, crippled. This is how a hell is created. Then your love is false, your hate is false, your smile is false, your tears are false. And how do you suppose to live in such falsity and think of bliss? To live in such falsity and think of truth? To live in such falsity and think of liberation, moksha? There is no moksha for a false being. Falsity should drop. Be spontaneous, there is nothing to lose and everything to be gained. In the beginning it may seem that sometimes when you want to, when it was needed as a social mannerism to smile, and the spontaneous smile is not there, you may feel a little awkward, but only in the beginning. Soon, your authenticity will be felt by others also. And soon, your authenticity will start paying you. It pays so tremendously that when a real smile will come on your lips, it will be as total as the arc. The whole being smiles. The whole being becomes a smile. All around you, your smile spreads like ripples in consciousness. Everybody who is near you will feel a purity, a bath-like purity. And you will feel such tremendous bliss happening to you. A simple act of authentic spontaneity. And immediately you are transported from this world to another world. Love, or even anger. I tell you, even positive emotions, false, are ugly. Even negative emotions, authentic, are beautiful. Even anger is beautiful when your whole being feels it. Every fiber of your being vibrant with it. Look at a small child angry, and then you will feel the beauty of it. His whole being in it, radiant, red his face, such a small child, and looks so powerful that he can destroy the whole world. And what happens to a child? Once he is angry, after few minutes, few seconds, everything is changed. He's happy and dancing and running around the house again. Why this doesn't happen to you? You move from one falsity to another. When he has been angry really, anger is not a lasting phenomenon. It is a momentary thing by its very nature. If it is real, it lasts for few moments. And while it lasts authentic, it is beautiful. It harms nobody. A real spontaneous thing cannot harm anybody. Only falsity harms. This man who can be angry spontaneously, after a few seconds, the tide is gone. And he relaxes perfectly to the very other extreme. He becomes infinitely loving. This anger has not destroyed love. No authentic anger ever destroys love. On the contrary, it creates it again and again, renews it. If a wife and husband never get angry, you can be certain there is just no love between them. That is absolutely certain. But if sometimes they get angry, real angry, that anger refreshes everything. In fact, after the anger is gone, they have again a new honeymoon. Everything is fresh. The storm has passed. It has cleaned everything. Again they are new. They moved farthest. Now they fall in love again. And to fall in love again and again and again is the eternity of love. If there is no anger, real anger, you are boiling within and just go on smiling on the face because you are a husband and she is a wife, and anger will create trouble. You smile, that smile is false. The wife also knows that your smile is false. She is also smiling, and you also know that her smile is false. In the house, you live a false life. And this falsity becomes so ingrained, then you completely lost track of what real smile is, of what real kiss is, of what real embrace is. You completely lost track. Then you go in the motions, you embrace the wife, you kiss her, and thinking of other things. You move through the motions, gestures, impotent, dead. How can your life be a fulfillment? And I tell you, even negative emotions are good if real. And if they are real, by and by, their very reality transforms them. They become more and more positive. And a moment comes when all positivity and negativity disappears. You simply remain authentic. You don't know what is good, what is bad. You don't know what is positive, what is negative. You are simply authentic. This authenticity will allow you to have the glimpse of the real. Only the real can know the real. The true can know the truth. The authentic can know the authentic that surrounds you. That's the way to get hold of emptiness. The master created a situation, allowed the disciple to move in a spontaneous act. Howsoever small, just arc, and a lightning happens. This can become a satori, the first enlightenment. So remember few things. One, you have to move from the mechanical to the spontaneous. Two, from the mental, the verbal, to the non-verbal, non-mental. From the part to the total. From the false to the real. And from the ego to the non-ego, from the self to the no-self. Already the non-self exists by the side of yourself. Just a change of attention, a change of gear. The non-mechanical exists by the side of the mechanical. The real is always waiting by the side of the false. Just a change of gestalt. Just a look towards the spontaneous. Try it. 24 hours, whenever you have an opportunity to move from the false to the real, immediately change the gear. From the mechanical to the authentic. And remain floating as if you are in emptiness. Don't try to control yourself too much. Remain loose and natural. Enough for today.
The meditation for today is called Penetrate to the Center. Penetrate to the center of your being with awareness. Become silent and close your eyes. No movement, as if you are just a stone statue. Now go in, deeper and deeper. Fearlessly penetrate like an arrow to the very center of your being. Remember that you are only a watcher. You are neither the body nor the mind, but only a mirror reflecting without any judgment, a pure reflection of the moon in the lake. One of the goals of Osho Radio has always been to make Osho available for everybody. I think it's really great so many people have come out now and made Osho's world available. For the radio, I would really like many more people to come up with their own creations and share it with everybody through Osho Radio. So this is the direction we are going to go for right now. This was Osho Radio for today. Please send us your contributions, your messages, your feedback. Thank you very much, everybody. And until next week, bye-bye.